Welcome to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church featuring Pastor Gary Santino. We hope you enjoy these messages. You can find out more information about us at www.fbcenfield.com. You can find us on Facebook, and we pray that this message will be a blessing to you. God bless.
We are going through this study in the Gospel of John, and honestly, it is convicting to me, because as I've been talking about these levels of belief, and what does belief really mean, and in this, I put the title, Will You Eat or Go Home? Because that is exactly what happened in this passage. Some people went home, and some people said, I'm going to eat. And it's a very confusing passage to the religious leaders. They didn't understand everything that was going on. Now, you remember, Jesus fed almost 20,000 people. They ate of the bread, and then the next day they wanted more bread. And the last message from John, we talked about, do you see Jesus or do you see the bread? And we talked about how a lot of times our perception of God is wrong. We want God to do something for us. God is offering himself. That we find more satisfaction in God himself than what God does for us. Now, God does do great things for us. God is good and God is merciful and God gives us many blessings, and that's a blessing. But when they came back, he started talking about them. I'm the bread of life, and they didn't get it. So we want more bread. We liked free bread. But he used the illustration of the bread to teach a spiritual lesson about himself. And so we talked about this last time. If he that believes on me has everlasting life, I'll raise him up. I'm the bread. If you eat of me, you'll never hunger. If you drink of me, you'll never thirst. Talked about Moses in the wilderness.
Bread that they ate in the morning, it was gone at night, but they all died in the wilderness. And he's going to continue going on with that theme. And so they came to Jesus, verse 41, therefore the Jews started complaining about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. So they couldn't get over, or they couldn't accept who Jesus is. The person of Jesus. And really, that's the gospel, isn't it? It's really Jesus and what you believe about Jesus. And the rub is, the problem is, why we're so resistant to believing who Jesus is. Because the moment we believe who Jesus is, we become second. We want to be number one. But as soon as we understand who Jesus is, that he is God incarnate, he's the Almighty God, we become second. He becomes number one. We don't like that. Notice what they said about him. They said, therefore the Jews said, isn't this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? So again, they're talking about Jesus, right? Jesus, who was an actual historical figure, who lived on this earth, who went to the cross, rose again. And many of us believe that, but do you understand the weight of who Jesus is? And if we totally are convinced and totally trust in who Jesus is, we give him all of our devotion. We don't hold anything back. But in our then our flesh, our humanity, we're often deceived that we go back to our default, and that is, what is God going to do for us? And that's what the crowds were thinking. Jesus, the bread. But he says, I'm God. They couldn't get over their deity. Today, even if we go through the streets around Enfield and in New England, there are a lot of churches that, in quotes, say they're Christian. But the truth is, they're not. Because they don't believe Jesus is God. They will read about Jesus and they'll say, oh, we like the moral teachings of Jesus, but his teachings mean nothing without him. Because he said, he didn't say, God's going to give you bread from heaven. He said, listen, I am the bread. I'm the bread. The Bible talks about in the last days that people will have a form of godliness but denying the power. From such people turn away. Why? The power of the gospel is not in us. The power of the gospel is in Jesus Christ. So he answered them. And Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me
draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Again, you're here this morning because God brought you here. You have the gospel because God sought you out. The Jews thought that they had a monopoly with God. And as we're going to find out this passage, he's teaching this in the synagogue to the Jewish people. And so he's telling them that, look, you don't have a monopoly on God. I came down. This isn't a human invention of religion. We didn't make this up. This isn't, and the Jews at this time had made many, many laws that were not in the Bible. And today, I can remember in the Orthodox Church in Romania, when somebody died, you had to have you had to give meals 7 days. And you had these poor people. They didn't have any money. They would borrow, sell things so that they would have a meal 7 days, then 40 days, and then a year later, they would have these remembrance meals. And because of tradition, they did this. Nothing in the Bible. Not a word in the scripture. And there are many people that follow religious traditions that are foreign, alien, unknown in the Bible. The Bible doesn't teach those things. So he's saying, this is me, I'm drawing you. You're under the grace of God right now. Think about this. Jesus was there in their synagogue. God himself. And they complained. They complained. If we want to take that a step further, every day we have breath, we shouldn't complain. Because God has given us grace for today. We have life today because of God. We shouldn't complain. Here they were in the presence of God and they were complaining. Then he answered them and said, most surely I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. And we talked about this last time, how no matter what you have on this earth, it's temporary. With Jesus, we have everlasting life. But then he's going to go on and explain, what does this believe mean, right? As we've been studying the Gospel of John, we see that there's different levels of belief. And for us as Christians, maybe you're thinking, yeah, that's good for the unsaved, but the disciples are here. And the disciples oftentimes did not believe. And notice what he says. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone, now notice the phrase, eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. So what did Jesus do? We know now the Jews didn't understand. He was a sacrifice. He gave his flesh. They took the nails and put them in his arms. If you've ever seen the Passion of Christ and the excruciating horror of the crucifixion. He gave himself so that you could be free. Because you couldn't free yourself. You couldn't save yourself. And so he says, I'm giving my flesh. I'm the bread of life. And I'm giving myself. And he uses this terminology here. Notice verse 52, the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? No, Jesus was not talking about cannibalism. He's talking about actually eating somebody. But then he goes even further, and Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now, we're having, after the service, the Lord's Supper, but this passage was not talking about the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper had not been instituted. The wafer does not become the actual flesh of Jesus. The wine does not become the blood, miraculously, as some teach. But here, he's really being, can I use the word, radical, extremist? We understand those words today. Maybe that gives us the wrong picture in our mind when we think of those words. So is belief, think about this, is belief, yeah, I believe Jesus is cool. Yeah, Jesus is good. And then Jesus comes in and he says, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. It's pretty graphic and gruesome, if you will. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. He has to eat the blood, drink his flesh. Drink the blood, eat the flesh. So what does he mean by that? I think what he means is if you're going to embrace Jesus, you got to embrace Jesus 100%. Remember back in chapter 2, the crowds, when they saw the miracles, they believed on his name and Jesus didn't commit to them? Yeah, they believed because they saw the miracles, but they didn't really believe. Didn't really believe. He goes on to say, notice what he says in verse 55 and 56, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, notice the word, abides in me and I in him. Let's say you want to
lose weight. Okay?
And you have all these plans.
Okay?
Whatever plan you choose, you join the gym, and you say, I believe I'm going to do this, and I believe this is going to help me lose weight, and I'm only going to eat this stuff, whatever. Okay? What do you have to do to actually lose weight? Huh? You have to do it. Right? You can talk about it. But unless you actually go to the gym, did you know Proverbs has a great diet plan? It says, if you're a man given to appetite, put a knife to your throat. Nothing can enter in, okay? But the illustration is, we say we want to know Jesus. We say that. We sing about it. We lift up our hands. We want to know Jesus, but I ask us, myself included, do we really want to know Jesus? How much effort do we spend getting to know Jesus? How much time do we spend getting to know Jesus? He's telling, if you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, you got to be in 100%. If any man comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We want Jesus, yes, to do something. Just like we want, you know, if we join the gym, we'll lose weight. No, you actually have to go. And you can go to church every week, but that's not a guarantee it's going to make you more spiritual. You have to eat of him. You have to understand who he is. And notice what they said in verse 60. It says, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? This is the disciples. These aren't the Jews. These are the people that are walking with Jesus. Okay? These are the people that are hanging around Jesus. There's the people that said, I want to learn from the great teacher. And as Jesus is kind of like, he's just bearing down. And he's just being real honest and real strong and real firm. And he's saying something pretty hard. They're saying, this is a hard saying. Like, I didn't sign up for this. Like, this wasn't in the brochure. Like, you ever go on vacation and you look at the pictures on the internet and think, well, this is a beautiful place, and you arrive there and you're like, yeah, where did they take those pictures from? It's like Romania, right, Dan? But what did Jesus say? It is what? The Spirit who gives life. What did Jesus say to Nicodemus? Except a man be born of water and of the what? Spirit. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. It's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. They're life. They're life-giving words. I'm not talking about eating Jesus' actual body. We're talking about abiding in Jesus, walking with Jesus, reading his word, praying to Jesus, obeying Jesus, following Jesus. And he's saying it's the Spirit that gives life. It is so much better than that bread I gave you yesterday. Now, I know this is a very poor illustration, and it doesn't really totally And maybe not in your mind, but my mind maybe a little more. So last Sunday afternoon, I went down to Orange, Connecticut and preached at the Romanian church because Pastor John is out of town. And then they threw at me, they like an English sermon once a week. So Sammy said to me, well, why don't you preach a sermon in Romanian and then preach a sermon in English? Okay, no problem. And then last time I was there, they said, well, after church, we're going to go to Sal's Pizza on Worcester Street in New Haven. And I'm thinking, awesome. So they, after church, all right, we got some food. We're going to go down the fellowship hall. Went down the fellowship hall, and I look, and it's Domino's Pizza. Now, I'm Santino, it's Italian, and you saw last October I was trying every pizza I could in Italy. So, Domino's, yeah. Just not there. And I already knew what I was going to do in my mind. I only ate one piece of that pizza. Got in the car. My wife says, I'm so disappointed. I said, we're going to Sal's. So we get to Sal's. It's right next to Frank, you know, there's Frank Pepe, Sal's, there's another one, a pizza. And there's a line outside if you want to sit in a table. They only got like three tables in there, but there's a line. Now, you know it's good if it has a line. Amen? If you go to a place at noontime or 6 o'clock at night and there's nobody there, turn around. So I went in and ordered it. Ordered the pizza. 1.5 hours. It'll be ready. I didn't come all the way to New Haven. Not going to deter me. All right, 1.5 hours. So we walked down to Worcester Street and got Italian ice and a cannoli. And then we got Sal's pizza, which my wife said Frank Pepe's is better. I don't know. I'll have to go again. But if you had come over my house and I had Sal's pizza or Frank Pepe's pizza there or Santino's homemade pizza and you said, just give me a frozen pizza, I'd probably kick you out of my house. Or say, give me ketchup. I'd be highly offended. But you know what we do to Jesus? I just want frozen pizza. Yeah, I'm satisfied with more money, and I'm satisfied with a better job, and I'm satisfied with more TV, and I'm satisfied with more clothes, and I'm satisfied with more worldly things. And Jesus is saying, I'm offering you the bread of life. The words I speak to you, they are spirit, and they are life. The Spirit gives life. Anything you do, and here's the key, anything you do in the flesh eventually leads to death. It's a Spirit that gives life. If we want life, we have to live and walk in the Spirit. And if we're going to live and walk in the Spirit in this life, we're going to have to fight. we're going to have to fight harder than we fight to go to the gym. Because the flesh is going to fight us and resist us and find things for us to do and other things for us to do. And Satan's going to give us those temptations. Oh, God didn't say, and God's not good, and God's holding out. Nothing has changed since Genesis 3. It's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. I gave you the bread, and I'm sure it was really good bread. And Jesus is saying, I know you ate that bread, but I got such better bread. I've heard people say, well, I've tried church. Yeah, they probably didn't really try Jesus. They didn't really try Jesus. They were like these people. Man, Jesus, that's hard. So what happened? John 6:66. 666. Remember that number? From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. This is too hard. Too difficult. Too uncomfortable. God, I just wanted you to give me bread. I really didn't want you. Think how that would be in a marriage. Maybe I shouldn't say this because some men think this way, right? But, honey, do my clothes, make my meals, but I don't want to talk to you. Don't talk to me. Don't give me messages. Where am I? But I love you. Now, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands because I don't want to start any fights, but I don't think there's a woman here that would say that was a healthy relationship. Like, do this, do that, be there on time, but no relationship. It's not a relationship. That's how some people treat God. God, give me this, give me that. But wait a minute, where's the relationship? He said, you eat of my flesh, drink of my blood, you'll abide in me. And from that time, many went back and walked no more with him. And Jesus turned to his disciples and said, where will you go? Will you go away also? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. They said, we're not going back. It's hard. Peter had a lot to learn. Peter eventually gave his life as a martyr for Jesus. But he never turn back because he looked at Jesus and said, Jesus, you have the words of eternal life. You have the words of life. It's all in you. So the question today is, are you going to eat or go home? Are you going to eat or go home? You're going to get in? Or you're just going to ignore who Jesus is. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't have a little sprinkle of religion Sunday at church and not eat of Jesus 100%. Listen, it's time for us as Christians, for myself, and I'm not saying just for you, saying to myself, it's time to stop playing with Jesus. Maybe this morning you need to be saved. Maybe you've heard the gospel. You've never accepted the sacrificial death of Jesus for your sins. You may not have another day. You have today. You may not have tomorrow. Today. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you need to start giving. Maybe you need to start serving. We have a lot of needs in the church for teachers, for people in the media. We need new people on the cleaning crew. Let me ask you this. Do you spend more time on Facebook than you do reading the Bible? Or do you say, well, I read my Bible. When pastor puts verses, that's when I read my Bible. No excuses. I don't want to hear we're too busy, we don't have time. That's not going to cut it. No more. Jesus laid it out. You don't eat of me, drink of me. You don't have life. Let's stand this morning. Ask God to work in our hearts. Heavenly Father, we want life, Lord. We want eternal life. We want the better food, the better bread, the better drink. Lord, open our eyes. Like these people, they didn't see it. They were blinded by their own passions and lust. Open our eyes today, God, that we may grasp that it's the Spirit that gives life. That to work for the food that doesn't perish. To be passionate about knowing you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You come as we sing.